And I ain't hear no drop in a minute. No, I'm about my business.
Rapper's Guide Podcast, episode 31. This is your host, Diggy Metro.
Bales Pagliacci.
And today we wanted to talk about embracing the youth, not being a hater. It's easy for a lot of us who came up on a different style of music to hear the new stuff and not so much be a fan of it, and then go directly to shitting on all the young guys who make that type of music. But it's more helpful and more beneficial for an artist who's a little bit more aged, a veteran in the game, who still hasn't really gotten there yet, to embrace them, because it puts you onto a whole different culture of people. It puts you onto a whole new group of following, especially if you're being helpful to them. And yeah, man, what are your thoughts on this?
I don't like you little motherfuckers. Nah, let me stop. I think it's definitely beneficial to always go back. And, you know, those that are a little bit younger than us, I mean, we're close to our 30s at this point. But, you know, seeing the energy and seeing the type of style of music that, you know, people that's like in their early 20s and what they come up with and, you know, how they kind of grew up, it's a slight difference. But it also helps in, you know, influencing our music and, you know, us basically keeping close or, you know, keeping relevant to what's going on out there. Like, even when you think of somebody like 2 Chainz, right? He was like 40 or so when he was like rapping, but
when he got popping, like he was on DTP,
what, the Duffel Bag Boys and all that. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? If you would have asked me back then if he was 40 years old, I would have never knew. But because it seemed like he was always around the younger guys that we were always listening to. So it was like him not being one of those people that was like, you know what, I'm not going to deal with these artists. Because we always hear that a lot. Like the older artists, like, you know, Nas, Jay-Z and them. And those rappers in that era didn't really want to embrace a lot of people that was coming up for the most part. And, you know, after a while, they started realizing, okay, I actually have to be that person. I have to be the guiding light. I have to be somebody that's there to assist them, because the people that was before them, like Rakim and them, was doing basically kind of doing the same thing to them. So it's like a never-ending cycle, which eventually somebody has to break. And I think at this point in the music landscape, I think we're finally breaking it.
I think there's a culture of people who they feel like because no one helped them when they were younger. And literally, as you can see, me and Bales are the opposite because we do this show.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people who go, I didn't get help when I was younger, so I'm not going to help these motherfuckers. They can learn on their own.
Yep.
And it's just backwards thinking. It's just like a bad form of parenting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a bad form of being the generation that came before. And it's not helpful to you, just like it's not helpful to them. Like, you'd gain a lot more from just being open and helping them out. And anything that you've learned in your time doing the shit, you offer to them. I'll tell you a quick story. I had an artist that was signed to me when I was running the label. And one time he goes to a party and some kid asked him, this is early on Spotify, Apple Music and everything. And a kid asked him, like, how did you get your music on Apple Music?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh, my manager did that for me. So I don't know. And when he told me the story, he said it like it was some fly shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, bro, that's the worst thing you, like, I go, not only are we going to sit down and
talk about it,
go through it right now, but like also like, I'm going to make sure you never have that conversation again where you sound like you're incapable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not beneficial for you as a young artist to not know shit.
Yeah, at all times, you need to know what's going on in your career. And that's how you always see that people who may sign a deal always say, oh, well, I didn't know what I was signing up for. I didn't know this. I didn't know that. They was taking this, that, and the third. But it's like, you have to be knowledgeable about these things before you, number one, sign your name on a contract. You should always do that. But also just understand what's going on around you at all times, because now you know, people could be stealing money from you. They could be taking a lot of your possessions. They could be taking a lot of things from you. And if you're not paying attention to those things and you're just like walking around like, oh, no, whatever, somebody else is going to handle it. 5 years from now, oh, I'm bankrupt. What happened? I don't know.
And that brings us back to the whole manager talk that we had a couple episodes back, where it's like, know how to do the stuff so that your manager doesn't, so you don't need a manager, one, but also just know how to do the shit so that, like, when your manager fucks up, you could fix it yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have a manager, you know what I mean? But like, just relying on a person to have the information and you have none of it is always going to lead to you getting fucked over.
Yes.
Like, it's never going to benefit you to not know shit. And that's why it's important as an artist for you to always be in the know of everything that's going on around you, whether it be the business side, the music side. Like, I always tell kids, when you come to a studio and you sit next to me and I'm engineering your record, You should ask questions.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be the guy who doesn't even know how to tell someone to put more reverb on a vocal.
Literally every time I've been to a studio, which has only been like twice. Well, actually, you guys would make three. But anytime that I went to any type of studio, honestly, when I ever go to a studio, my intention is I'm going to sit there. I'm going to record my verse. While he's mixing, I'm not going to be playing on my phone. I'm not going to be trying to smoke. I'm not going to be trying to chill with my friends. I'm paying attention to every single thing that's happening on that screen. Because what does that help me do later on? I went to two different studios. They handled it the best they could or the best I thought it was at the time. But then I turned around and was paying attention. I was asking questions all the time. Yo, why'd you put that on there? Yo, why you putting that thing there in the side chain? What is a send? What is all this stuff? And for me asking all those things, I was able to actually mix and master my first album by myself. And then honestly, it sounds way better than what those other dudes were doing for me before. But it's because I went there with an intent to wanting to learn and ask questions. And like I said, if I'm just sitting there bullshitting around, playing around, I don't mix and master my first album myself.
I think in this game, there's way too many people that just rely on others for information. And I think that there's way too many people that are content with not knowing anything. They see it as, oh, I want to just stick to the music side and I just want to pay all my attention to the music. I want to make sure that the music is great. Yeah, but the music can't be great unless an engineer touches it. And if you don't know what you want the music to sound like because you don't know how to word effects properly and you don't know how to word any of these things, then you can't even make the best product. So it doesn't really help you to not know anything. Yeah, focusing on writing is important, but also like that's such a small part.
And this is like basically with the embracing the youth. I see a lot of artists sometimes, whether it be comments on any form of our like platform. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I just want to be an artist. And like, part of me always wants to say that's perfectly fine. That's your opinion. You know, if that's what you want to do. But it's like, how can you sit there and just let everybody else? Like for me, I'm a person that likes to be in control of my life. How is it that you're allowing everybody else to have control over everything else, but you just think that just writing the lyrics to a song is just basically where it's just going to end for your responsibility? Like it doesn't sit right with me. And once again, this is how we come up to these discussions all the times when people think, oh, I just got signed. I got all this money. I got all of this. And then you end up realizing you don't have anything at all. And then you just back out. It's back at square one trying to figure out how can you get yourself back into a different situation.
Okay. That was good cop, right? Yeah. Here's bad cop. When I see the comments on our page of people saying, I just want to focus on the music. I don't care about the marketing. I don't care about this. I don't care about that. All I think is that's because you're negligent. All I think is that's because you're not the type of person who's probably going to make it because you don't want to know shit about shit.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, that's the type of person where I look at that comment and I go, that person will not succeed in this game.
It's fucking unfortunate. Yeah, it's not unfortunate.
It's unfortunate as fuck because you don't want to be a dick on a comment section. I don't want to comment back and be Mr. Asshole, right? That's Mr. Famous. I'm Mr. Asshole, right? I don't want to be a dick. But like at the same time, it's hard to read those comments because one, I was there at one point. I was young and fucking stupid and I didn't know shit about shit. And I probably would have said some shit like that. But you grow up and then you realize like, oh, I was a fucking idiot. Like, a lot of you guys need to just understand that, like, how you feel right now is not how you should feel.
No.
You're going to grow, and at some point, you're going to be like, the shit I was doing 3 years ago was fucking stupid. And that's fine. You're allowed to grow. You're allowed to gain more knowledge and understanding. I used to fucking shit on books. I used to tell people that read books, oh, that's fucking nerdy.
Reading is power.
I'm going to go get some bitches. You can read that book. Then I realized, like, actually fucking reading books is like, that's the way to unlock your brain.
Yes.
It's the way to unlock everything.
And that's basically kind of how this podcast even came like into fruition. We started reading books on music business and it's like, boom, you know, we can take this information, regurgitate it and provide it to artists that are looking for the information. And then once again, like I probably said this numerous episodes, you can sit here and listen to us all day. Still, go do your own research. Go out there and try to figure out things on your own. And if it's something that you're questioning or something that you hear us say is like, I really don't agree with that, go do some research and try to figure out if it's true or not.
And the skill that we have as far as regurgitating information isn't just telling you word for word the information that we read. The skill that we have is being able to word it to you guys in a certain way that you'll understand it.
Because we're artists.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's easy to read a book and get the information, but if you don't know what any of that information means, then it's not as easy. So like what our job is to literally take that information on music business and then turn it around and make it digestible. Make mm-hmm. it so that you guys could actually comprehend it in a modern day setting, in a fucking youthful setting. Because a lot of these dudes writing the books, like Donald Passman, I would just assume he's got to be an older gentleman.
Oh, he's definitely older.
You know what I mean? And that's fine.
Probably bald.
But him writing that book, like, he's writing it with terminology that a lot of these young guys aren't going to understand.
Shit, I don't be understanding sometimes. I got to look it up myself.
And that's what I'm saying. And a lot of them aren't going to do the due diligence to go and mm-hmm. look it up after the fact. So they're just reading that information. If it's not appealing right off the bat, they're like, fuck this. But then me and you take that information and we put it into a podcast and we make it so that I could give you an analogy about something, or we could give you examples about how you could utilize this information. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, oh shit, like that's actually useful.
It hit different.
You know, and going back to embracing the youth, it's like, for me, I'm very impressed by young artists that seem to have a knack for the business. Seem to like care deeply about the business, whether it be the way that they dress, to the way that their cover art looks, to the way that, like, I love seeing a person who has that entire package where you're like, at least they know their brand,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, there's a lot of artists who are just throwing shit at the wall and hoping it sticks, and they don't really understand what their brand is. They don't understand who they are as an artist. They don't. So they're making all these different types of records. All their cover art looks different. And I think that at a certain point, you have to kind of consolidate, and you have to be like, all right, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to play with. This is what I'm going to market myself as. Yep. These are the artists that fit into the genre that I'm trying to make, and really just create your brand. So I really appreciate when young people do that, but there's a lot more young people that have no idea than there are that do, you know?
And I honestly get inspired anytime I do see it, because when I was like 21 through 24, once again, I had no clue what the fuck I was doing with music. Like I said, for me personally, this shit just started kicking off about 2 years ago. And that's basically when I just had met Dig, and he kind of put it in my mind that I need to look at things more in a business mindset, more so than just, hey, I just want to be an artist and hopefully somebody comes over one day and just signs me. Like, I was one of those dumb kids too. I literally did not want to hear anything anybody was saying to me. I had all the gunshots in my mixtapes, knowing damn well I wasn't shooting no guns. I had talking about the content that I was talking about, knowing damn well I really didn't care about any of that stuff, but I was basically trying to reach for something. And if I would have had somebody like you that was in somewhere within my life that was like a mentor, like, yo, you don't have to do that. You can literally be yourself. Not saying that I'm not happy where I'm at now, but who knows what the future would have really held for me if I would have really had those things installed earlier. So that's really what these episodes really be about. Like, if you're like 18, 16, 20, you can really apply this information now. And by the time you reach my age, which is 27, about to be 28, you never know what the possibilities are. And then once again, when you reach those levels, or when you reach those heights, you know, reach back out. Let us know that it worked.
Here's another thing. People, like you said, that I acted like a mentor to you, right?
Yeah.
And I think that people are scared to call someone who's, like, I only have a year on you.
Yeah.
And I think people are scared to call someone that's a year older than them their mentor, because they think that it makes them look weak.
But, you know,
but realistically, like, anybody, I don't give a fuck if it's a 16-year-old that has more information than you.
Mm-hmm.
If they could teach you the way to do something, you should take the fucking advice.
Little bro becomes big bro.
Right. And that's fine. Like, we're talking about information. We're mm-hmm. not talking about age. We're not talking about how many years you've been doing it for. Like, we're talking about information. Because there's a lot of people that have been doing this for 15 years and have zero information.
Yeah. And when it comes to me, like, calling you a mentor or any, I tell you it all the time. I give everybody their flowers. It's like, I just put my ego aside.
It's not even, yeah, like, that should, what I'm saying is, like, you handle that really well. But a lot of people are scared to say that.
Yeah.
Like, they'll have somebody that offers them information constantly, but because they're in the same age group, they're scared to, like, take the information because they feel like, he's not better than me.
Mm-hmm.
We're the same age.
That's that ego shit.
It's like, yeah, exactly. And it's fucking corny. So back to embracing the youth. Fucking, if I look at a young person and they're offering some type of difference in sound or something that's kind of innovative,
mm-hmm.
I'll look at that and I'll be like, yo, that's dope. Let's try to make something work with that. You know what I mean? I'm not against getting on a record and doing something completely outlandish
mm-hmm.
because I saw a young person do it and we worked on a record together. And now I'm like doing a different style of music. That's not a problem with me. It always just has to tie in to my style as well. Like, I'll get on a record that I wouldn't typically do if there's something that makes it similar.
Yeah,
I just did a record with Rec recently.
Mm-hmm.
That beat, I would probably never hop on that beat.
That beat slapped though.
But I would probably never hop on that beat.
That was the YG Hypnose one?
The one I did with Rec was a Grim Dozer beat.
Oh, the Grim Dozer, yeah, yeah.
But because Rec had it and he had a certain, like, that was the vibe he was going for, mm-hmm. I was able to put my style on it and then it just worked.
And honestly, when it comes to bracing you for like me, because you know, I'm usually the one that's like the market and anything. When I be seeing how these younger people, like they edit their videos and like their reels and stuff, I'm like, yo, that shit's fucking creative. Cause I'm kind of still stuck in that old way of doing things, like, you know, basic ass videos and shit. But when I see like them using reels and like how to use TikToks and everything, I was like, you know what? That inspires me to try to do things a little bit differently. It makes me want to try to do it in that way, because it's obviously is working and it's a different way of doing things. And if I'm not able to embrace you for like, nah, I'm just gonna stick to what the fuck I'm doing. I don't give a fuck. That's gonna leave me stagnant. That's a problem that I think a lot of people have. You're not willing to embrace any new change, and what it basically becomes is you become stagnant. You kind of, like we said before, I have a tendency of not really listening to new music. What that mean, not listening to new music, sometimes that may leave me stagnant within my sound. I may not be willing to experiment on certain things because I'm not willing to be open. So when you're not willing to be open, you basically keep yourself boxed in. And once you're boxed in, you're going to do the same thing over and over and over again. So that's like, you know, embracing youth is a big part of that, because you want to step outside that comfort zone. You want to be able to feel like you can do something else, still be true to yourself, but also still embracing, you know, what everything is going on right now. Even like a lot of the beats that I choose sometimes, it still may have a little bit more of a hype element to it. I love those things, but I can't even lie. That's more mostly for like the younger generation. Kind of fits in there.
See, I think that when I make my music, I understand that my audience is never going to be young.
Yeah, I'm like a college audience guy.
Yeah, I think that you have a younger sounding music. I think that I have like a very old sounding music. So I aim all my content toward people who are of age.
But it could be those younger artists that you was talking about before that understand the business things, like, you know, and they start hearing the shit you're saying, like, oh shit, this makes sense.
Well, as far as this podcast, this is aimed toward everyone. Yeah. I don't care if you're 40 or you're 20.
Yeah.
Like, this information is useful for everyone in music, right? When it comes to like my own personal stuff, the stuff that I, like the music I write and everything, mm-hmm. I don't try to reach for young ears with my music, because it just wouldn't even feel right to me.
Yeah.
If a young person can appreciate that there's skill behind the rap, I could take that.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to ever push to try to sound young.
Oh yeah. No,
because for me, it's like, I already did that. Like, when you've been around for as long as we've been around, it's like we've done every time. Like, I did 18-year-old sound and music when I was 18.
Been through all the phases.
You know what I'm saying? Like, 10 years later, I'm not trying to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm ready to be a grown man in music and make grown men music. So I think it's fine. But on the flip side, I expect an 18-year-old to make music that sounds like an 18-year-old.
Yes.
Nas is a fucking anomaly for writing Illmatic when he was like 16.
Yeah, he was built different.
He was just beyond his year.
It was something in that water.
You know what I'm saying? But like, that's not, I don't expect everyone to be on that type of time. Like, I don't expect to hear a 16-year-old rapping on a boom bap record and sounding like fucking Jay-Z.
But at the same time, you within that, you know, if somebody does reach out to you, you know, we'll get into it. Sometimes it's kind of hard to tell when somebody's like got your best interest at heart. But just being open and being able to be coachable and also being able to be workable and also be a mentor. Like, recently, I seen an artist, he was talking about features. It was like a local New Jersey artist. His name's Jay Wonder. He was talking about features and like, you know, how people probably reaching out to him to do songs, but then they're not willing to pay the money. And, you know, part of me was like, I'm not going to say nothing. But another part of me is like, let me just try to see if I can just reach out to him. So I did. I reached out to him like, listen, I'm not nobody to you and you're probably not going to care what I say. But, you know, I can understand your frustration with people not want to pay you for your features. But, you know, at this day and age, it doesn't really work like that. You can literally, it's about the value that you bring to the table within the artist. So you guys could even do splits or something. So whatever profits do come, you guys split together. And he just said, thanks. So I don't know if he took it, but
okay, you want to hear some real shit? You want to hear some real shit? And we've had a whole episode about features, so yeah. I'm not going to go too deep into it because we have that already. But the thing is, bro, when your value is set and when you're actually worth the amount of money that you're charging people, people don't have a problem paying for the feature.
Yeah.
And they're reaching out to pay for the feature. if no one wants to pay your feature price, the reason is you're not worth that.
The shit, I hit up Chris Patrick. If you're watching this, probably not. But if you are, I'm still trying to figure out how much it costs for them features, bro.
But you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, he like, made the value, so I'm reaching out. Right. Trying to get the,
you're
going to
reach out to them, and you're going to ask their price. Like, when you're reaching out to a certain ilk of person, you already know that it comes with a price.
Mm-hmm.
If you know about music. Like, I'm sure there's kids out there that think everyone's buddy-buddy that hops on records, but that's not true.
Business.
And in the business, you have to pay for features. But sometimes it's not worth the feature price. So if no one's willing to pay your price, it's probably because you're not worth that price.
And that's why I just did a sort of thing. Like, I told him too, like, I'm not saying that you can't get what you're deserving of or what you feel like you're deserved of. I'm nowhere in.
Yeah, but who sets that price though?
Exactly.
Who sets that price of I'm deserving of this?
Exactly.
Did you ever get that before?
And that's basically what I was trying to, that was me like trying to embrace the youth and reaching out and seeing things like, okay, I see this mindset because that was me before. Like, if I'm charging for a feature, you got to pay me my money.
Just because one person felt like you were worth that and paid the price, that does not automatically set your value at that price. More than one person has to come and keep on buying
on
shit
a constant
at that
basis.
Price.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, yo, if you made a bunch of shirts and you started at $50 and one shirt got purchased, but now you're sitting on 49 shirts,
mm-hmm.
and no one's buying them at $50. At some point, you drop that.
But that
maybe you go
sale.
To 40,
mm-hmm.
and then, all right, now I got 5 more sales, but it's still too high. And then you're going to do a clearance at some point. That's how products work, right?
Yeah.
If nothing's selling, at some point, they keep on dropping the price until they find the price that it sells at.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, if you wanted to charge $500 for a feature, and no one will ever pay that amount, and then you drop it to $300, and now you get a couple buyers and you drop it to 200 and now you start to see like an influx, then maybe that was your price point.
Yeah, that's 200.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that was your price point, but you weren't worth 500. As much as you think you're the dopest out, the problem with rappers is that everyone thinks that they're the greatest rapper.
Yes.
So everyone wants their value to be sky high because in your head, you're the fucking best that ever did it, right? Mm-hmm. But the truth is like the market will tell you how valuable you are. They'll tell you.
The market will always tell you.
You know, like when everyone's saying no to your feature price, at some point they go, that's not fucking helpful to me.
Because even at this point for myself, I was like, I still don't understand, like, how the fuck you even value that shit? Like, I guess when you reach a certain point, you could just say whatever number. But it's like, we're still early on. And then on top of that, it's like, including embracing the youth, most of the time, they don't have the money to be even paying $300, $400, $500 for a feature. So who the fuck am I to just try to, you know, take their money? You know what I'm saying? If they wanted to get on the song, like, yo, we could do a split.
And also, did you want to do the record?
Yeah. That's all. On
the
top
only
of
people
too.
I've ever tried charging in my life for people that I wouldn't do the, like, I would not do that record for free.
Mm-hmm.
And me charging wasn't even really charging. I knew they were going to say no to the price.
It was just a
a nice way of saying no. You know what I mean? Like, I don't charge anyone that I fuck with for features. I don't charge anyone that has a good record for a feature.
Yeah.
But if you're hitting me up and your record is terrible, I have to get some value out of it.
Yes.
So that, like, fucking, if I did do the record and people are like, why the fuck did he do that record? That record is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, because he got paid to do it.
And that's something, like, you know, for all these other artists out there, once again, if you see, like, if you hear some information from us or you hear some information from somewhere else and you following the artist and you see that they're kind of going down the path that doesn't seem like the best route for them, reach out, try to help out, because you just never know what that one conversation could, you know, do for a person or how it can make them look at certain things. Whether or not he took my information for what it was, I don't know. But once again, it was like, let me just try to give an alternative side to something else, because once again, if somebody was there to do that for me, I probably wouldn't have the type of mindset that I had back then.
Yeah, we also had a recent episode talking about doing shows yourself and like putting together your own showcase and getting a bunch of local artists down. And we saw a bunch of comments saying like, no one wants to do this, this and that. Well, maybe you should reach down to the younger generation.
Yeah, because they waiting to go on the fucking stage.
Right. And they have friends. I don't know if people know this, but as you get older, your friend group gets smaller.
Yeah.
People got real shit going on. People are getting married. People have fucking families. People are buying houses. People are doing all these things to where they can't just kick it on a Friday night.
Yeah.
But you know who can? These little 18-year-olds that they would have been kicking it on a Friday night regardless. So in my experience, the younger artists that I would put on the showcase always brought the most heads.
Yeah.
And when I was young, I used to bring the most heads.
Yep.
Because it was easy when I just got out of high school and everyone's still friends with each other.
Everybody
trying to
friendly.
Kick it.
Everybody wants
easy
chill,
to hit up 40
vibe.
People
mm-hmm.
and ask them to come out and drink. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's easy to hit up 40 people and ask them to party. Yo, if my friends hit me up right now and said, yo, there's a party in fucking this town, we got to go. I'm not going, bro. I'm way too old, man. I'm not walking into somebody's house to party.
I'm already in my pajamas.
Yeah, like, that's not happening. So you have to know your audience, and you also have to know who your immediate circle is and who they could bring out. So, like, if you chill with a bunch of introverts, right,
mm-hmm.
that don't have big friend groups and don't have a big local presence, right, and you get a bunch of those guys together to do a showcase, how many people do you think are going to pop out?
It's not going
to
be a lot.
It's not going to be a lot.
Not going to be a lot at
right?
all.
Right? Like, if you could all pull three people or five people, that would be fucking great.
It'll be an intimate show.
Right. And it would have to be a small room. And yeah. it, you know, but like, if you start reaching out to all these younger artists that are in the area and you start putting them on the showcase, then it makes total sense that they're going to bring a bunch of people. And what you don't know is, like, I think that there's this constant, like, struggle of understanding when it comes to older artists in this game, that, like, kids don't fuck with the music that we make.
Mm-hmm.
But in my experience, every time that I've had a young artist that was like, yo, you rap too? Like, throw something on. And I've thrown on a song. They're like, oh, you get busy.
Yeah.
And it's not their type of music, but they fuck with the fact that, like, yo, whatever you're doing in that that style of music is good.
And on the other side, usually the old artists don't really fuck with the things the younger guys 100%. Are doing.
And this is what I always tell artists when they show me their music, and it's or when I get a new session and I'm listening to a young sounding song, right? I always say, it's not for me personally. Like, I probably wouldn't play this regularly, but in that style of music,
I can see this
good.
Works. This fits. It's perfect.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
You're good at this style of music. Like, I don't listen to a Lil Pump, right? Or I don't listen to these little guys, but like, if I hear an artist come through here and the music sounds exactly how that whole culture sounds, then I'm going to be like, that's a good record for that.
And that's a perfect way to kind of, like, you know, once again, a lot of times, not even a lot of times, majority of the time, music is very subjective. So when it, you know.
Not
know,
majority, all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
Every single time music is subjective. Yeah, you're trying to be like nice about it. No, every single time music's subjective.
And within that, like, if you ask somebody, you know, oh, how is this sound? You don't always have to say, oh, this shit is trash. Because sometimes it shit really don't be for your ears. It's just really not your vibe. It's not really what you want to listen
to. You could also objectively say, yo, this sounds good, man. It's just not for me.
Yeah. It's
There's nothing
fine
wrong
with
that.
Perfectly fine.
And no one should hate on that. Bro, this is a good song. It's just not for me.
Because there's a lot of great songs out there that people enjoy. It's like, I just want to bump this on my lonely. But if I'm out somewhere and there's something that's playing, I can enjoy it. But it don't mean that I'm going to go home and, like, listen to that shit on a daily.
Right. Like, yo, in a club setting, because I don't listen to club music when I'm in my car.
Mm-hmm.
I don't listen to club music when I'm at home. I don't listen to club music at the gym.
Nope.
But in a club setting, if I walked in and the new youngest record is on and it's bumping and I see a bunch of chicks dancing to it and everyone's hype, I'm going to be like, that's a good song. I'm never going to turn around and be like, this song sucks because there's way too many people in music that do that.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't fit their style of liking.
This shit sucks.
This is horrible. This sucks. Nah, it doesn't suck, bro. You're just not a fan of it.
Now, granted, there's some horrible music out there, though.
Yeah, but is horrible music getting the whole crowd going?
Nah.
And that's what I'm saying.
Nah, never.
Like, you've never seen... I've done showcases with some of the worst musicians of all time, right? Like, people who they put on their record and you're like, go home, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, just go home. Like, trust me.
The fuck is this?
Trust me. And no one's moving and everyone's just staring and mm-hmm. it becomes like a circus act. You'll know.
Yeah,
you'll know when your music's not
hitting. I've been in the room.
You'll know when your music's not hitting. And I've experienced that too. I've had records that I performed where people are all jumping around. Then I've had other records where I could see that the room kind of died out. Guess what I do? Next show, that record's not
that
coming on.
That song's never being used again.
Right.
Yep.
Like, that's how you kind of clear up your space and you kind of know what not to use anymore. But, like, as far as playing a young record out and knowing if it works, you could just see that shit.
Yeah.
So, like, whether you like the song or not, whether you're a fan or not, and the same goes for old music. If you're a young dude and you go to the club and they play, even though what we do is wrong, and you see the whole crowd going nuts, You'd be a fucking idiot to be like, because this is an older song, it's trash. When you see everyone in the crowd with their fucking hands like this and everyone's bumping into each other. You know what I'm saying?
Like this, I'm ready for it.
It's just one of those things where it's like music is subjective, but you could see when the crowd feels something.
Yeah.
Like it's a visual thing. And you can't just call a song trash just because it's the older generation or because it's the younger generation. It's just not for you.
Yes.
And I've worked with young artists who their music is not for me, but I have no problem working on the records. And after I mix them, sometimes I fuck with them.
Yeah, because once sometimes you listen to something, it gets to you.
Like, I work with this artist, 40. He's not my style of music.
Yeah.
But, like, for what he does, like, because I think that it's a thought thing that, like, there's no bars in mm-hmm. the younger music. Like, they're not saying anything.
Yeah.
Right? But, like, this dude would be spitting shit. Like, mm-hmm. he says a lot of shit that I'm like, that's a cold fucking bar. Like, if I was to use that in a boom bap record, it would have the same impact.
It would translate well.
You know what I mean? That's a cold ass bar. That's very clever. It's just not the style of music that I'm used to. It's mm-hmm. not the style of music that I normally listen to. But I could still acknowledge that it was a dope ass bar in this style of music. You know, there's a lot of these dudes out there that are mad clever, mad witty, and they have bar structure. And it's just not our style. But that's fine. And to really sum everything up, I just think that people need to stop this, like, generational break.
Yes.
Where there's two sides. You're either older or you're younger. And if you're on either side, I don't fuck with you. This isn't Bloods and Crips. This isn't a gang thing. It's fucking, it's music, bro. There's good music from every generation of people. The same way I could look back and respect a Marvin Gaye.
Mm-hmm.
People could look back and respect all these older artists who set up, like, yo, I don't expect someone who's a trap fan to like Sugar Hill Gang.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you could respect the fact that everything came from there.
Yeah, that's where the music really, that's where the hip hop and everything originated from.
Yo, a lot of these samples that you guys are getting on and they're speeding them up and they're putting trap drums on them. You could go back and you could listen to the original song and you might not fuck with the older generation of music, but like, how the fuck can you like the beat so much? But like, listen to the original song and be like, this is ass.
And that's why I said nowadays, it seems like it's less of that. It still happens, but it seems like artists altogether starting to realize like, yo, let me just pay homage to the people that's above me. And also let me pay homage to the people that's below me as far as an age, not in like stature in the music industry. And like, you know, I talk about J. Cole all the time. I know people probably annoyed by it, but who cares? The time that he fucking, it was J. Cole and Lil Pump and they was on the couch.
Yeah, but
It didn't because I was kind of getting annoyed about Lil Pump a little bit. And it was
he talked to the wrong person.
Exactly.
He talked to the wrong person.
Maybe if he would have talked to Cordae, it would probably be a whole different thing.
Fuck Cordae. He could have talked to any other young rapper who's still in that genre of music and they probably would have been more responsive.
And that's the part where I said you have to be a little bit coachable and you have to also be able to come from a point of understanding, because when you're just sitting there with a cup in your hand just shaking ice the entire time, it's just like, all right, you're not listening to anything I'm saying to you.
Right. And I've had sessions with those artists too. I've had sessions with artists where I'm like, maybe you should try this, and they're like, nah, yo, I'm good. It's like, okay.
All right, cool, man.
All right, fine. I'm here to offer some type of help, but I'm not here to change your song. So like, that's fine. If the song comes out sounding trash, that's on you. If it comes out sounding great, that's on you.
Yeah.
Like, fine. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to be that guy who, but there's definitely artists who are not coachable and are not workable. And you could see that from the moment you meet them. That mm-hmm. it's just like, they need to grow out of whatever phase they're in, because they're in a phase where it's like, they still have that I'm the greatest and only I can make it, and you know.
And once again, it takes time. It definitely takes time, because three years ago, I was basically that guy.
It takes hardship.
Yes.
Fuck time. It takes hardship. And it also, takes, look, this is what I always say. I love working with artists that had that moment of this, like they skyrocketed, they got plays and shit, and then the shit died a little bit and they're back down, but now they're here.
In that midpoint.
I like when they're on their way back up, because mm-hmm. that means that they had no understanding of how they got here, so it fell down. But now they have a little bit more knowledge and they're on their way back up.
Yeah.
I like working with people on their way back up, because that shows me like, oh, they've already been through the shits of this game.
Mm-hmm.
This game is a bunch of shits. You know what I mean?
Bunch of shit.
But they've been there. So they kind of understand it now. And now they're a little bit more coachable, more workable, because they know that like, this isn't just a luck game.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work that goes behind this. So that whole lucky mindset that you have when you're young, like, oh, I'm going to just record that one record and then everything's going to pop. Nah. You know what I mean? Doesn't work like that, unfortunately. But we can get you there. You know what I'm saying? Like, we could really work with you and get you there.
Yeah.
That's fine. But yeah, man, embrace the fucking youth.
Embrace the youth.
Rappers Guide Podcast, we're signing out. This is Diggy Metro.
Bayos Pagliacci.
Peace out, guys.